You know what? You got the best outfit because you got the best outfit. Like,
not because you didn't
go there trying to get the. You ain't like, nah, this one.
This is WGXC Acra, 90.7 on your dial. Also online at wavefarm.org/WGXC.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Ralph Gartner of Volation, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
Radio broadcast, this I believe.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here.
Jeffrey Wilson reports in the Poughkeepsie Journal that the Hudson Valley Democrats in Congress are now united in support of an impeachment inquiry of the president. Representative Sean Patrick Maloney, who represents the 18th District in the Southern Hudson Valley, and Representative Antonio Delgado both announced September 24th that they were joining Representative Paul Tonko and almost 200 other Democrats supporting impeachment. Maloney said he is, quote, prepared to pursue an impeachment inquiry. I have had a high bar for putting the country through an impeachment inquiry, especially so close to an election, but these allegations go to the heart of the oath I took. There comes a time to put your country first, unquote. Delgado and Maloney committed publicly to impeachment just hours before House Speaker Nancy Pelosi also called for an official impeachment inquiry. New York Democrat Representative Joe Morrell, who represents Rochester, also joined the list of those backing impeachment, which grew to over 200 by the end of the day. The U.S. Senate voted unanimously September 24th for a non-binding resolution calling for the whistleblower complaint related to President Trump's communications with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky to be released to the House and Senate Intelligence Committees. Trump admits to asking about Ukraine investigating the son of Democrat Joe Biden and was reportedly threatening to withhold Senate-approved funding for the country. House Democrats are expected to vote to condemn the president's actions with Ukraine in the September 25th vote. Read more about this story in the Poughkeepsie Journal.
On Twitter, Delgado wrote, and I quote, "The first responsibility of the President of the United States is to keep our country safe, but it has become clear that our president has placed his personal interest above the national security of our nation. I believe articles of impeachment are warranted," end quote. National Republican Congressional Committee spokesperson Michael McAdams responded to Delgado's announcement saying, and I quote, "In a district President Trump won by more than 6 points, Antonio Delgado's decision to pursue impeachment will be a political death sentence," end quote. Heather Kovar is reporting for WRGB-TV. A Columbia County woman attending a birthday party over the weekend was attacked by a rabid gray fox. The incident occurred September 21st at the Rojan Boat Club near Germantown. Witnesses say the fox came out of the woods and then bit and scratched Sue Hoyland.
Hoyland's friends spoke to CBS on her behalf, saying the incident was, and I quote, pure panic, end quote. The Columbia County Health Department has confirmed the fox tested positive for rabies. Edward Coons, Director of Environmental Health Services for the Columbia County Health Department, said this was not the first fox to test positive for rabies in the county. Coons said, and I quote, "The concern is we started out 2019 with a heavy burden of raccoon rabies. This continued into late spring and early summer," end quote. Then last month, a gray fox tested positive after it attacked a woman in Hudson. Coons is advising pet owners to keep dogs and cats up to date on their shots. Anyone who comes into contact with a wild animal is asked to contact the health department at 518-828-3358. And you can read the full story at CBS6Albany.com.
Jeanette Wolfberg reports in the Columbia paper that Hudson Housing Authority Board of Commissioners met on September 11th and selected Randall Martin as chair, Marie Ball vice chair, and Peggy Pollenberg treasurer for the 2019-2020 year. The HHH board selected Randall Martin to be the chair. He's a local videographer. He moves up from vice chair, replacing Alan Weaver. Ball is a partner at the Look Apparel store in Hudson and joined the board last November. Pollenberg will start a second year as treasurer. The HHA administers the 135-unit income-restricted Bliss apartments and federal Section 8 vouchers housing elsewhere in Hudson. Read more about this story in the Columbia paper.
Melanie Lekosevic is reporting for Columbia Green Media. Governor Andrew Cuomo, September 20th, announced a statewide effort to crack down on underage drinking during the month of October. Law enforcement agencies will work with the State Liquor Authority and the State Department of Motor Vehicles to conduct underage drinking checks at locations suspected of selling alcohol to minors, including bars, restaurants, liquor stores, and grocery stores. Hudson Police Chief L. Edward Moore said his department works with state authorities to conduct these investigations. He said, and I quote, "We do routine checks with local retail stores that sell beer, and we use underage people. We find more often than not that our stores are in compliance," end quote. Coxsackie Police Chief Sam Minto said his department works side by side with state police to conduct sweeps. Minto said, and I quote, "We work in conjunction with the state police, and they initiate these sweeps. They are very good about contacting local agencies and taking input regarding problematic spots in the community," end quote. He said the last violation for selling alcohol to underage customers in Coxsackie was about 2 years ago. Chatham Police Chief Peter Volkman, founder of the addiction recovery organization Chatham Cares For You, said he supports the state's initiative. He said, and I quote, "In Chatham, our retailers have been pretty good. I am pretty confident that any type of initiative will find that our retailers are checking IDs. The initiative of doing checks and enforcing and regulating has helped keep everyone on their toes. It keeps people honest," end quote. According to the State Office of Alcoholism and Substance Abuse Services, drinking alcohol before age 21 can interfere with brain development, causing learning difficulties well into the early 20s. Early alcohol use is also associated with poor grades, absenteeism, and higher school dropout rates, according to the state agency. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com.
Amanda Purcell reports in Columbia Green Media that the Hudson Development Corporation is broke and trying to sublease their space near the Hudson waterfront. Quote, "It's not being used and we're broke, so if it has to be approved by the council, that could be 2 to 3 months," unquote, said Steve Dunn, after learning the Hudson Common Council would have to approve any deal. The HDC has office space on the second floor of First North Front Street, above the Columbia County Chamber of Commerce. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
MidHudsonNews.com is reporting the opening of the UN General Assembly this week means big business for New York Stewart International Airport. The Orange County Transport Hub is used by many foreign leaders to park their official government aircraft. The annual event means additional aircraft landing and parking fees and fuel charges. Planes from Qatar and Spain were among the dozen or so planes on the tarmac September 23rd. Stewart is chosen for several reasons, including security, lack of congestion, and cheaper cost than New York metropolitan airports. The planes are handled at Stewart by Signature Air and Atlantic Aviation. Read the full story at MidHudsonNews.com.
William J. Kemble reports in the Daily Freeman that the Public Access Northern Dutchess Area, or PANDA Group, is being asked by its Rhinebeck landlord to move, putting the organization in jeopardy. PANDA chairperson Eric Rybeck also complained that as consumers cut cords on cable TV, funding for public access television dries up. Quote, one of the risks is that as people sign off of cable, that revenue is going to go down, unquote, he said. The group is paid to record and broadcast board meetings in the town and village of Rhinebeck, the town and village of Red Hook, and the village of Tivoli. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman.
Diane Valden is reporting for the Columbia paper on the results of the Relief Janssen Library's Community Conversation Initiative. The project began in April with a series of public conversations held at various locations in the community. A total of 54 people, residents of Ankrum, Copec, and Hillsdale, participated. All but four of the participants were over the age of 50. The library took on the initiative to become more familiar with the community it serves. The conversations revealed that people want a sense of connection and community spirit. Their concerns focused on connections, communications, and economic challenges. Obstacles to connecting with others in the community include the rural character of the place, differences between long-time versus new residents, and weekenders versus full-time residents. When asked about communications, participants said they are unaware what is going on or where to get information. Economic challenges include a lack of good-paying jobs, skills to fill jobs, a lack of affordable housing, and a lack of public transportation. More specific concerns included the impact of short-term rentals on the housing market and the sense of community and the lack of broadband access. What would make a difference? According to the findings, residents would like more places and events for diverse groups to come together. Development of a local newsletter or a website listing services and events for the Rojan area, vocational training to help students develop job skills, and business development that caters to changing demographics such as seniors and second homeowners. Conversation participants said they do not trust their town board to act on issues of concern, but they do have faith in the Hillsdale Safe at Home Committee, Ankrumdale Neighbors Helping Neighbors, the Copec Grange, and Library. The findings will be used to develop the library's five-year strategic plan. And you can read the full story in the Columbia paper. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Wednesday, sunny with a high near 74 degrees. Wednesday night, mostly clear with a low of around 54. And on Thursday, a slight chance of showers, partly sunny with a high near 75 degrees. And Thursday night, mostly clear with a low of around 49 degrees. So there you have your weather update brought to you by WGXC 90.7 FM. Radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
Listen out for these live broadcasts and extra web streams on the WGXC program schedule during the coming week. On Thursday, September 26th, WGXC Live will carry a live web stream of Bobby Previtt's Blueprints performing at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. There should be a live web stream at WGXC.org around 9 p.m. Click on Listen Now at the top of the page and scroll down to find the web stream. Visit theavalonlounge.com for more information. On Friday, September 27th, WGXC Live will broadcast the live web stream from the Avalon Lounge in Catskill, where the band Ace of Wands and Carolyn Morosi will perform. The show will air on 90.7 FM from 9 to 10 p.m., then continue online at WGXC.org. Click on Listen Now at the top of the page and scroll down to find the web stream. Visit theavalonlounge.com for more information. On Saturday, September 28th, WGXC Live will broadcast the live web stream from the Avalon Lounge in Catskill, where the band Camp St. Helene will perform. Wesley Harper opens the show, and DJ Matt Wagner performs later. There should be a live web stream at WGXC.org around 9 p.m. Click on Listen Now at the top of the page and scroll down to find the web stream. The show will air on 90.7 FM until 10 p.m., then continue online until 2 a.m. at WGXC.org. Visit theavalonlounge.com for more information. Be sure to check our program schedule for new listings of public events, community meetings, and other dedicated web streams, which may not have been posted at the time this announcement was recorded. You can also download the free Wavefarm app to listen on your phone or iDevice, or use it to become a broadcast partner with WGXC.
There are so many events on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org, and you can add your own by pressing the Add an Event button right there on the page. If you do, folks like me will read your community event on the radio. Folks around the world will see it online at WGXC.org, including some of these events.
On Wednesday, September 25th, this month's Hudson Area Library General Reading Book Group book is Where the Crawdads Sing by Delia Owens. The group covers fiction and nonfiction and is facilitated by longtime member of the Friends of the Hudson Area Library, Sharon Getty. Books for the group are all available for borrowing through the Mid-Hudson Library System, meeting held from 5 to 6 p.m. at the Hudson Area Library. Workshop meeting of the Greene County Legislature will be held starting at 6 p.m. in the caucus room. On Thursday, September 26th, taught by author, artist, educator, and social activist Maureen McNeil. This class, in collaboration with the City of Hudson Senior Center and the Hudson Area Library, will focus on discovering the power of the inner self through the practice of daily writing. Registration is limited at programs at hudsonarealibrary.org and is on a first-come, first-served basis. Bobby Previtt leads a conceptual performance with webcasts at WGXC.org and Wayfarm.org. Previtt has invited some of his favorite musicians in the Hudson Valley and beyond to the Avalon Lounge in Catskill for these inaugural concerts of his newest project, Blueprints, starting at 9 p.m. The ensemble will play, distort, improvise around, and sometimes ignore these fragments. Using hand signals, body movements, and the occasional odd glare, Previtt conducts the musicians through the maze, taking a different path every night. On Friday, September 27th, the First Reformed Church of Catskill on Main Street will be holding their Fall Rummage Sale on Friday, September 27th from 9 to 5 and Saturday, September 28th from 9 to 1. The Catskill Farmers Market runs from 4 to 7 p.m. at the Catskill Community Center on Main Street. Learn to safely pickle and keep food fresh up to 18 months using a boil water canner. This is a hands-on class where participants will end up preparing a pickled product to take home. The course will be held at the Cornell Cooperative Extension of Columbia and Greene Counties Extension Education Center on Route 66 in Hudson from 6 to 8 p.m. Register at ccecolumbiagreen.org or call 518-622-9820, extension 100. Spirit Family Reunion and Joanna Sternberg perform at BSP Kingston starting at 8 p.m. Independent artist and musician of guitar and percussion Lee performs at the Hudson Underground on Warren Street at 8 p.m. NRBQ performs at the Falcon on Route 9W in Marlborough starting at 8 p.m. Ace of Wands and Carolyn Morosi perform at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill beginning at 9 p.m. with live web stream on WGXC.org. The Half Moon on South Front Street in Hudson hosts Your Vote, Your Voice with voter registration on the spot and ice cream party with mostly girls DJ sets. All proceeds go towards the Kamal Johnson campaign for mayor starting at 9 p.m. WGXC underwriting support is provided by Gemini Construction, a full-service contracting firm specializing in complete electrical construction services. Gemini Construction, serving Greene and surrounding counties for over 40 years. For more information, contact 518-622-9829.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Wendy Schmaltz of Claverick, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
New York is one of 14 states that has adopted California's tough auto emission standards, and now it's fighting to keep that right. When the Trump administration announced last week that it will revoke California's longstanding waiver allowing it to set tighter emission and fuel efficiency standards for cars and trucks, New York was one of 24 states that quickly moved to challenge that change in court. The American Lung Association gives 10 New York counties a failing grade for high ozone days, including some of the state's most densely populated areas. The association's Paul Billings says revoking California's waiver will be bad for New Yorkers' health and for the planet.
New York has partnered with California for decades on more protective tailpipe standards. This is a big step in the wrong direction that will undermine New York's efforts to protect air quality and fight climate change.
The administration argues that tougher standards will make cars more expensive and encourage people to drive older, dirtier cars. But Billings notes that the tougher standards are not only better for the environment, they also make cars more efficient, saving money on fuel. He says if the administration gets its way, consumers will be the big losers.
So we're going to have vehicles that create more greenhouse gas pollution, don't go as far on a tank of gas, and that will mean that more money comes out of a family's pockets for their monthly transportation costs.
California's standard would require cars to get 50 miles to the gallon by 2025. The administration wants to freeze the standard at 37 miles per gallon nationwide. For New York News Connection, I'm Andrea Sears.
Welcome to 2020 Talks, where we track the 2020 election process from the studios of KHOI in the heart of Iowa.
I tried to be a member of Congress. It didn't work out.
I'd love to be a governor.
There were lots of gentle laughs during the Business Insider Republican primary debate last night between former Massachusetts Governor Bill Weld and former Illinois Congressman Joe Walsh. It wasn't sponsored by the Republican National Committee, and neither President Donald Trump nor former South Carolina Representative Mark Sanford participated. Sanford because of scheduling conflicts, and Trump because he said he won't debate his Republican challengers. But more debate news dropped than just the Walsh-Weld showdown. Hawaii Representative Tulsi Gabbard qualified for the October Democratic debate yesterday, after a Monmouth University New Hampshire poll had her at 2%. Back to last night's Republican debate, though, there was lots of talk about President Trump. Also yesterday, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi launched a formal impeachment inquiry against him. Both candidates, Walsh and Weld, criticized the president. Here's Weld.
He's made it impossible for Republicans to run in suburban districts. He's just looking for an electoral 270 electoral votes for himself, and he doesn't care what happens to the Republicans.
And here's Walsh.
The Republican Party brand sucks, and it sucks because of him. Young people can't stand the party brand. Women can't stand the party brand. People who live in the suburbs can't stand it, and people of color can't stand the Republican Party brand.
Aside from opposition to the president, there were many policy issues that Walsh and Weld agreed on, like the state of the national deficit, whether troops should be deployed to Saudi Arabia, and how to deal with automation displacing workers. But there were some on which they had different approaches.
Just a yes or no, please. Congressman,
that's hard.
Would you rejoin the Paris Climate Accords?
No.
Governor Weld?
Immediately.
Other issues, though, were not talked about last night, nor during Democratic debates. Earlier this summer, independent candidate for president Mark Charles shared the stage with 10 Democratic candidates at the Frank Lemire Presidential Forum in Sioux City, Iowa, to talk about indigenous issues. He was the only candidate who is also a citizen of a tribal nation, Navajo Nation. This weekend, he held a video conference where he responded to similar questions asked at Democratic debates and started with what had been absent so far, recognition of tribal lands and sovereignty.
The Sana, the Atacapa, and the Karankawa. These were the nations who originally inhabited the land around Houston, Texas. And I want to acknowledge today in front of everybody these nations. They saw that this is what we do in Indian country when they were at the Frank LaMere Presidential Forum. But no one did it in Houston, and no one did it in the previous debates in Detroit and the one prior to that.
From Pacifica Network and Public News Service, I'm Lily Bolke. Thanks for listening at pacificanetwork.org and publicnewsservice.org.
Next, we have these reports.
And welcome back, listeners. This is Holly Tanner and your host of Talk with Tanner, right here on 90.7 FM WGXC. I should read. Acre, Catskill, Hudson, listener-supported radio for open ears. But we also have a caller on the line right now. And why do I feel like I can't hear myself? Turning that. Oh, that's better. Caller on the line, none other than our own Senator Daphne Jordan. Hello, Senator.
Hi, Holly.
Hi.
I heard that my friend Gary Flaherty is there as well.
Gary is there. You should put your headphones on, Gary, so you can hear the senator. Yes.
Hi, Gary.
Oh, but can you hear her?
Yes.
Oh, there he goes. Yeah, I'll turn his mic on too. Yeah, Gary is here live in studio. We've been talking about the unfortunate statistic of military suicides. Because September is Suicide Prevention Month, and then later, after we talk, he's going to talk to us about his new, the Dwyer program. So, but we wanted to talk with you about the Golden Gathering.
Yes, I am very excited for the Golden Gathering, and of course, you're partnering in it with me this year, which makes it doubly exciting.
Yes, I'm very excited.
So October 5th, Saturday, from 9:30 to 12:30 at Columbia Green Community College in Hudson, we will be hosting the Golden Gathering. And it's in its 27th year. And I have to tell you that ever since I was elected as senator, when I'd run into seniors in Columbia County, the first question I'd get asked is, are you going to also have the Golden Gathering? And my response was always, absolutely. It's so important for our seniors to get the information that's provided at the Golden Gathering. And I believe that it is a big social event every year from my having been there the past 6 years as Senator Marchione's staffer.
Right.
And just from talking to people. So it's a big to-do, and I'm excited for it.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I appreciate being asked to co-sponsor with you or help out in whatever way I can. It's going to be a fun event for sure. And you have, or we have, are there over 50 exhibitors?
I think we're about at 60.
60 exhibitors.
So, you know, some of the great things that will be happening there are we'll be having a flu shot clinic. And so for that, I would say to those that have health insurance, bring your health insurance card.
Right.
But it will be free for those that are uninsured, and Mid-Hudson Cable picks up the cost of that.
Yes,
so
we.
That's a wonderful service to everybody.
Do you want to give a shout out to Mid-Hudson Cable, one of the major sponsors of the event?
Yeah. Absolutely. Thank you, Mid-Hudson Cable,
absolutely.
For all you do, for providing great broadband.
Right.
In Hudson, I know that's where it shines.
It really
Columbia
does.
County.
The service in
the rest
Columbia
of
County.
Many parts of the county are lacking in that, but where Mid-Hudson Cable is, they do a good job.
They really do an excellent job, yes.
So, and I thank them very much for covering the cost of the flu shot clinic for those that are uninsured.
Yeah.
We also are having our Columbia County Sheriff Bartlett and his office there to provide free senior citizen ID cards. There will be free blood pressure screenings. Dr. Terry Sullivan will be there to do hearing screenings.
Right.
And the, you know, it's not all about health, though a majority of it is. It's
because it's the harvest of health,
wellness.
Isn't it?
And wellness includes socialization too.
Right.
So, you know, there are, for instance, we'll have the Adult Learning Institute there from Hudson, and they have their programs at Columbia Green Community College, but, you know, they do fun things like bridge and pinochle and teach mahjong, and they have garden basics classes. I'm looking at their schedule for next month. You can explore your family history. So there's fun stuff, too. And, of course, we will be having live music.
Right.
And light refreshments. And we'll be giving away door prizes and free tote bags. So, you know, there's a lot going on.
My name is James.
My name is Echo.
You are listening to WGXC 90.7 FM Acra.
Greetings. My name is Tenali Rennick, and I invite you to tune in to Muddy Boots on the fourth Thursday of the month from 1 to 3 a.m. and we shall wander where sneakers never will. Weaving within the playlist are artisanal tunes, film clips, one-off sounds, folktales, cut-ups, literary snippets, poetic whimsy, and other assorted oddities. That's the fourth Thursday of the month from 1 to 3 a.m. See you there.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Gemini Construction, a full-service contracting firm specializing in complete electrical construction services. Gemini Construction, serving Green and surrounding counties for over 40 years. For more information, contact 518-622-9829.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Gunel Reznikoff of Chatham, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Green and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
The Public News Service Daily Newscast for Wednesday, September the 25th, 2019. I'm Mike Clifford. On today's rundown, Speaker Pelosi calls for an impeachment inquiry of President Trump and cleaners rally for new contracts. Topping our news, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi announced Tuesday the need for an impeachment inquiry of Trump. The New York Post reports that move comes as it surfaced that other top Democrats have been meeting privately to discuss the creation of a select committee for impeachment. That's according to reports. Pelosi said this is something serious in a class of its own, a discussion about conduct of the President of the U.S. That to an audience of the Atlantic Festival in Washington, D.C. As soon as we have the facts, Pelosi said, we are ready. Office cleaners in Philadelphia and Pittsburgh negotiating the new contracts that could set the stage for workers up and down the East Coast.
Philadelphia Mayor Jim Kenney will join more than 1,000 workers tomorrow as building cleaners in Philadelphia rally for a new contract. In both Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, representatives of large building owners and contractors are negotiating new agreements with 5,000 members of Local 32BJ SEIU. Fitzen Jones is a building cleaner working at Jefferson Tower in Philadelphia. He says employers have proposed dramatic cuts to workers' benefits despite the biggest real estate boom in decades.
I've been a union member and an employee about 20 years now, and I've seen it go from bad to good. And we just want to be compensated fairly for the work we've done and going to continue to do.
The union says what happens in Pennsylvania could impact more than 75,000 workers on the East Coast bargaining for contracts this year. I'm Andrea Sears reporting.
Those current contracts for Philadelphia Pittsburgh building cleaners expire in October. And as Oregon teachers and committees celebrate the Student Success Act, the first phase is how funding will be doled out. It's now beginning. Eric Tegedoff has our report.
The bill's passage marked a major milestone for education, which has seen disinvestment since the 1990 ballot measure limited the dollars available. For school districts to receive funding, they'll have to engage with local communities on what they need. Lisa Fragola is a second grade teacher and Eugene Education Association member. She says that's fitting because community members helped push this law over the top with Red for Ed rallies in May, teacher walkouts that happened less than a week before legislators passed the Student Success Act.
If you went to any of those places where teachers were taking action for investment in public education, you would have found many parents, many children, people from the community who stood up with us.
Officials there are looking for input on a number of issues, including mental health services and what kind of courses students want. This is PNS. In an unprecedented statewide video conference yesterday, Dan Hyman reports the Speaker of the House of Delegates there, Roger Hanshaw, took questions from West Virginia school kids about climate change, but Dan reports at no time did he say climate change is a real problem or even use the phrase.
Hanshaw, a Clay County Republican, makes his living as a lawyer for natural gas companies. When asked for the state's most serious environmental issue, Hanshaw, a trained chemist, cited something he admitted was unexpected, the need for trace minerals to make electronics and batteries.
So the chemistry of electronic device and how do we power batteries? We depend on, to a large extent, something called rare earth metals.
The other delegate in the video conference, Morgantown Democrat Evan Hansen, said the most serious issues were water pollution and climate change. Hanshaw seemed somewhat open to a market trading carbon credits, saying he preferred that to a simple carbon tax. He also spoke favorably about a bill Hansen has sponsored to allow companies to get electricity from solar arrays built on former coal mines. But the closest the speaker came to saying climate change is a real global crisis came when pointing out that the state's economy is still dependent on fossil fuels. Hanshaw said the local tax picture is part of what leaves West Virginia tied to coal and gas.
They fund the public school systems in many of our counties. So because we're dealing with or talking about a problem that's global in nature, the kinds of barriers to its solution are so different everywhere in the world, they all collectively converge to make the problem hard to solve in total.
The most recent state revenue numbers came in $50 million short of last year's. Dan Hyman reporting for the Public News Service.
Finally, our Mary Sherman reports that Ohio-based restaurateur Jeff Ruby has wined and dined celebrities and dignitaries alike, but food is not his only passion. He is also committed to helping vulnerable young people.
Ruby grew up without a father in his life and says he was on the wrong track until a football coach stepped up to provide him with guidance and support. He believes just one positive connection in a kid's life can change their trajectory.
This coach took me on it, and all of a sudden, I had someone that I wanted to be like. I wanted to impress. I wanted to be proud of. I know what that coach did to change my life. So I've been changing other kids' lives ever since.
He's sharing his story as a keynote speaker at the Public Children's Services Association of Ohio's 2019 conference.
Hundreds of people involved in child protection will be on hand at the conference and will discuss strategies to improve practices and better support children's services workers. I'm Mike Clifford for Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, and we are online at publicnewsservice.org.
From the WGXC Newsroom, This is the WGXE Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Brendan J. Lyons is reporting for the Times Union. Federal law enforcement officials have revived a criminal investigation into the town of Prattsville's use of more than $5 million in aid from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development received in the aftermath of a series of devastating storms in 2011 and 2012. The FBI investigation is currently pending before a federal grand jury in Albany. The probe is focused on grant applications submitted by Prattsville Town Supervisor Corey O'Hara. Accusations have persisted since 2013 that town officials misused tens of thousands of dollars in aid and had refused to release their spending records. When contacted by a reporter this week, O'Hara's attorney, William J. Dreyer, declined to comment. Prattsville was leveled during Hurricane Irene in 2011. The federal aid received was used to help rebuild homes and businesses and to pay for two new bridges, the reconstruction of Main Street, and a recreation complex. The decisions on how the public funds were spent were made by a 12-member planning committee that included O'Hara and Councilwoman Bonita Chase, the deputy supervisor. Town Clerk Kathleen Sherman confirmed the town board September 9th voted to rehire Thomas A. Capezza, a former assistant U.S. attorney and general counsel for the state police. The town hired Capezza in 2017 to help respond to federal subpoenas. The subpoenas called for documents related to the funds received through the New York Rising Community Reconstruction Plan. Read the full story in the Times Union. MinutesandNews.com is reporting Rockland County officials have declared the measles outbreak over. The last case was reported on September 24th. County Health Commissioner Dr. Patricia Schnabel Rupert said two basic factors caused the outbreak. She said, and I quote, "We have found it to be a combination of those who refuse to vaccinate and the vaccine hesitant group that unscientifically staggers the vaccinations for their children and leaves them vulnerable to vaccine-preventable disease. Many of these previously under-immunized children were immunized with MMR vaccine during this outbreak," end quote. Since the outbreak began in October 2018, there were 312 reported cases of measles in Rockland. Read the full story at MidHudsonNews.com. Jeanette Wolfberg is reporting for the Columbia paper on details of the September 3rd Hudson Board of Education meeting. Superintendent Maria Stuttermeyer acknowledged that Hudson High School principal Antonio Abitable is leaving the district effective December 21st. He has been hired as superintendent of the Lansingburg Central School District in Troy. Stuttermeyer said Hudson will begin its search for a new principal this fall. The board welcomed Piper Nayowith, the new student representative. Nayowith is a senior at Hudson High School, and she is currently president of the student council. When asked if she had goals for her term as student representative, she said, and I quote, "to make sure everybody has a good school year and that there's open communication," end quote. Stuttermeyer provided a progress report on the district's ongoing construction projects. She said the asbestos abatement is complete at the Montgomery C. Smith Auditorium and at the junior-senior high school, and new audiovisual equipment has been ordered for both locations. A new set of heated stairs to the M.C. Smith second floor is expected to be completed this month, and the old sidewalks in front of the school building have been removed and will be replaced. Read the full story in the Columbia paper. PS21 announced September 24th the selection of new officers in the wake of the passing of the performance venue's founder and president, Judy Grunberg. Grunberg, an artist, business owner, and philanthropist, died August 30th at the age of 86. On September 19th, the board selected Marcia Fardella and Marion Kruskop to serve as PS21's co-presidents and carry on Grunberg's work. Fardella said in a press release, and I quote, "While no one can replace or duplicate what Judy has done, imagining and creating a first-class performance venue in our backyard where world-renowned dancers, musicians, and actors perform for our community, we are committed to continuing her vision," end quote. Also elected to join the board was David Grunberg, one of Grunberg's sons. Fardella has served on the board of PS21 since 2014. She is a graphic designer by profession. Kruskop has a career in public health, most recently at New York City Health and Hospitals, the city's public hospital system. David Grunberg is the president and artistic director of the Spectrum Symphony in New York, based in Manhattan. PS21's 2020 season will combine its historic favorites with new performances in a variety of disciplines as well as various community activities. Read more at ps21chatham.org. And that wraps up the WGXE Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, visit our website, wgxe.org. From the WGXE Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow. And now here is your WGXE Hands-On Radio weather update. The National Weather Service in Albany is forecasting a sunny Wednesday afternoon with a temperature high near 74 degrees and a light and variable wind. Tonight it will be mostly clear with a low of around 54 degrees and a south wind at 3 to 5 miles an hour. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Thursday, a chance of showers after 1 p.m. It will be partly sunny with a high near 73 degrees. Thursday night, a slight chance of showers before 10 p.m. It will be partly cloudy with a low of around 48. And on Friday, sunny with a high near 72 degrees. Friday night, mostly clear with a low of around 54. So there you have your weather update brought to you by WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
Hi, this is Linda Tripp, 4-H educator for Cornell Cooperative Extension of Columbia and Greene Counties. Visit the Catterskill Gallery at Columbia Greene Community College in October to view the 4-H art exhibit showcasing block prints from over 75 4-H club members. Join us for the opening reception on Thursday, October 10th from 5 to 7 p.m. Cornell Cooperative Extension provides equal program and employment opportunities.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Gemini Construction, a full-service contracting firm specializing in complete electrical construction services. Gemini Construction, serving Greene and surrounding counties for over 40 years. For more information, contact 518-622-9829.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of the Rodney Shop in Catskill, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Here is a preview of the feature shows coming up on WGXC on Thursday, September 26. At 11 a.m., Transformational Listening, hosted by Dennis Darra. He will present the music of the blind husband and wife musicians Amadou and Mariam from Mali. What's the Frequency Kenneth is on at 2 p.m., hosted by Paul Fisher, and this week's subject will be whistleblowers. And then at 3 p.m., Donald Dump Theater, volume number 141, Impeachment Now. Backtracks in Time is on at 7 p.m., hosted by Jack Senkaba. He'll be talking with historic preservationist Meg Nowak. The Sound, Songs, and Radio Art of Audio Buffet is on at 8 p.m. And finally, at 9 p.m., Bobby Previte's Blueprints will be performing on a live web stream from the Avalon Lodge in Catskill. Visit our website, wgxc.org, for more information.
On the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM, now we have on the phone Alan Kuhn from the Spotty Dog Books and Ale in Hudson to tell us all about the how many film festivals have you had now?
About 6 or 8. It's occasional, so we lost count.
Ah, so it doesn't have an official number.
Right. I think about 8 of them we've had.
And when is this year's event?
This year's event is October 6th, which is a Sunday night, which is when we usually do it.
And is there anything different about this year?
If to give everybody, if people aren't familiar with the event.
Absolutely, thanks. About 12 years ago, Spotty Dog has been open for 15 years. We wanted to have a mini film festival. It's something we did in college with a group of designers and filmmakers. We all went to art school. And we figured out it was pretty easy to throw together an event. And so we decided to do a one-night-only short film festival where entries, it used to be 10 minutes in length, now it's 8 minutes in length maximum. People can submit video, collage, film, whatever short movies they want. We've had many videos that are stop-motion animation done on iPhones or iPads or professional quality done on iPhones or anything from pretty much film, abstract. A lot of people who whose names float around GXC or the area, WGXC or the area, have been in past film festivals, so we usually contact people because they're always creating new things. And we take submissions. So we've had an open call for the past month or so. We've extended it to Monday, September 30th, which is this coming Monday. So if anyone has anything, they should submit it. I can give you the email and information when you're ready. But the So we chose, it used to be in conjunction with Arts Walk in Hudson, which is no longer. And so to not compete with any of the events, we put it on Sunday night. And so, like I said, it's one night only. So we usually have a program of two blocks of films with an intermission. We project it in the store. We move all the bookshelves, so it's like one of our shows where you have all the seating. And it's just a celebration of local, national, and international short films. And we get a diversity of submissions from kids all the way to professionals who are either instructors or work in the field professionally. And it's usually pretty fantastic. We've had a lot of submissions already. We always like to fill it out to get the strongest work we possibly can.
And do you get just people around here making their own movies, or do you get like professionals that are on the circuit?
We get both. No one that's household names, but people get wind of it. And we have a college instructor in New Mexico who sends these amazing animations. And, you know, word gets around. And so we also call out to friends at Bard and other colleges to open up to students and other filmmakers. And we also get a lot of local characters or people who are just local creatives who make films and submit them as well. So it's a good mix.
And do local people sometimes do so well, feel like they did so well, that then they enter their film into other contests or showings?
I do believe that happens, yeah. I can't tell you exactly who, but people have made stuff. A lot of times people just need a deadline to create something. And
yes.
Then when they realize they did it, it's like, oh, I might actually submit this elsewhere. So it'll go to Woodstock or other places.
And I guess you probably see, like, maybe not film trends, but you see how the technology evolves, probably, watching the festival over the years.
Oh, absolutely. 12 years sounds, feels like it wasn't that long, but, people would submit stuff done in video cameras, translated from VHS to DVD, or they would give us DVDs. Now everything is streaming, and they'll send us the link, and handheld devices are what's really exploded and putting really amazing technology that was only available to professionals and film students into the hands of kids. So we've had Lego stop motion where you have Lego blood flying out of stormtroopers, and it's just it's amazing what people can do when you have some time and creativity and the technology, which most people hold in their hands, that technology to make a short film.
Do you get more animation because people like to play with that, or more regular shooting?
We get some narrative, which, you know, where there's a story. Some animation. We also get some people make music videos, which usually fall within the time length, and so they submit those as well. So it varies. Sometimes it's completely abstract. Sometimes people just set up a camera in the chicken coop, and things happen. It's great.
So you don't have any limits about no documentaries or no tales told backwards or anything like that. It's just the only limit is the time limit.
It's completely wide open. If there's adult content, we usually put that in the second half, and any family-friendly content we put in the first half and just warn everybody in case there's some nudity or profanity or things like that.
So even those things are allowed?
Yes. allowed and encouraged, whatever people want to create.
And do you have a favorite over the years?
Yeah. So Chris Perry usually makes, he's made a few Stetson films with, I think John Rosenthal plays Stetson, and it's usually a narrative film based on an investigator, and we never know till the last minute if it's coming in or not. We've heard there's one coming in this year, and we're really excited because it's usually a highlight because they go all out, and there's a lot of local actors and people who you'd recognize, and they're really well done.
And it's like a serial? It has
pretty,
the same
pretty much a serial, yeah. There were three parts, and they usually pick up from the last part, so they started putting in visual cues near the end of the film so they can pick up the narrative.
And Chris Perry's known for his kind of rather large sculptures, often near Basilica or something. So this is a step out of his normal work?
Yeah, but when you compare the language of film and sculpture and design, you still have the same descriptors. You have pace, composition, collage. A lot of the visual descriptors can travel from sculpture to film to graphic design to painting. And so you'll find that a lot of artists find it very easily to pick up film equipment and get in the editing room and make pretty great things happen without too much of a learning curve.
Yeah, does his film work remind you of his sculpture somehow?
I would say in the it's airy and gritty. And has some rough surfaces. I would throw those off the top of my head. Yeah.
All right, it's
real life.
We're speaking with Alan Kuhn from the Spidey Dog Books and Ale in Hudson. Can you give us all the details? Where do people go if they want to submit a film or find out the information about all this?
Yeah, you can drop off. Mostly, we would take links. It's spottydogfilmfestival@gmail.com. That's the submission email, and you can send a link. If you don't have time to get a link together before the deadline, that's okay. Just you can drop off a DVD or a flash drive at the store. Just put a big indicator that it's for Alan or Noah just make sure it says for the film festival. And we essentially screen it, and we let everyone know after the submission deadline pretty quickly whether it's in or not. I want to give a shout out to Noah Reibel, who is also has been involved with GXC a lot in the past, and he co-runs the festival with me, so he couldn't be here today, but we screened them together, and he and I just kind of split duties so we can make it happen. It's a lot of small tasking to make it happen, but it's kind of a labor of love.
All right, while we've got you on the phone, is there anything else new at the Spotty Dog Books and Ale you want to tell us about?
Well, I had to take the phone away from the front windows because we're renovating the entire facade and putting new brickwork in. It was getting kind of dangerously precarious because of ice damage over the years. And so you see this black shroud across the facade. And so that's going to be up for the next 10 weeks. I kind of like it. It looks like a Christo sculpture. And then the first night we had the scaffolding up, it was tagged by graffiti artists. So it kind of already has a local signature. Anyway, that's a current event for the building. For the for events, we have Steely Din coming up on tomorrow night, Thursday the 26th.
That's Slink Moss and PG6 on the steel drum?
Correct,
Slink is on the steel drum, actually. PG6 is on the harp, I think, maybe, is that?
We have Kelton Park steel drum, flutes, and synthesizers, right. And Sean Allison's involved as well. I believe it's his thing, and he helps organize it. On Thursday, October 3rd at 7 p.m., we have Caitlin Muscatello, author of C. Jane Wynn, The Inspiring Story of Women Changing American Politics. It's a conversation moderated by Hallie Goodman. And I always say that books make great gifts, signed books, whether it's a birthday or the holidays. So it's always great to come in and meet the author and catch the reading and then get some signed books. We have our trivia night on Tuesday, October 8th, which has been biweekly for about 13 years. We just had it last night. Coming up on Saturday, October 12th at 7 p.m. is Volume. That's speaking of Hallie Goodman. That's her and Danny French and a cast of others who were lucky enough to have them bring their monthly reading and music series to us. And so it's a reading from three authors and a DJ afterwards. Hallie and Danny call it nerd mingling, where the writers are so shy that it's kind of better to get some drinks in them and have a DJ where to facilitate talking and networking afterwards. Saturday, October 19th at 7 p.m. is the Writer's Studio, the Hudson Valley version. So they have a quarterly reading with several different authors, both students and instructors. There's a book release party on Wednesday, October 23rd at 7 p.m. with Geneva Zane, who also works with Volume. Her new novella is String Bean and the Grace of Dog. She'll be reading and signing books. And also we're very excited for to have Amy Rigby on Friday, October 11th at 8:30 p.m. She'll be Amy works with Spotty Dog. She's a critically acclaimed world-renowned musician in our midst, and she just wrote a new memoir called Girl to City, which pretty much is her childhood in Pittsburgh and her time in New York. I just read it. It's one of the most honest memoirs I've ever read. I would recommend everyone to pick it up and read it. And,
if you've